Well, I voted against the health care measure for a few reasons, the first of which is the $500 billion cut to Medicare. My congressional district has the largest number of senior citizens and the largest number of dual-eligible seniors who are both on Medicare and Medicaid. And so with the large cuts to Medicare, a lot of my constituents may be at risk. And secondly, the reimbursement rates for those of us who represent rural areas is generally about 25% less than it would be in St. Louis or Kansas City. And I have doctors who are no longer taking Medicare patients. And so the bill did not do anything to address a lot of these concerns that we had, those of us who represented rural counties like I do in Missouri. And so that was one reason. Number two, I really was very, very concerned and very angry about the sweetheart deal that the pharmaceutical companies got in this bill. They are contributing, as they say, $10 billion a year toward helping to close the donut hole. But in reality, what is happening is that they will force senior citizens to go onto brand name pharmaceutical drugs instead of the generics that cost a fraction of what a brand name costs today. And those and folks will then hit the donut hole faster, and it will cost the system a lot more money than it already does today. And I did not like that provision at all. So there's nothing really in the bill to address the costs, the high cost of pharmaceuticals that are going up 8 and 10%. I also think that the bill is really kind of a backdoor boon for the insurance companies. You've got the potential now of 32 million more people who will be in the system. But in the 4 years between now and the time at which those people will be pulled into the system, I anticipate that insurance premiums are going to go up radically for 80% of the population who is insured through a private company, thereby offsetting the costs that they may lose later on down the road. And I know that sounds kind of convoluted, but in fact, they will be forced at that time to offer policies with much lower premiums. And what you're kind of creating is a dual system whereby people who have employer-provided insurance will be having to pay so much more to offset the other costs for folks who will otherwise be subsidized. And it's not that I even have a problem with helping people who desperately, desperately need help, because everybody should have access to insurance. The point is that this is an awful lot of money in the pocket of the insurance companies, the pharmaceutical companies, and we're being taxed, and the Medicare is being cut immediately when you'll see no benefit for another 4 years. And the impact on my rural communities and my senior citizens and our veterans population is very, very troubling.
What's your opinion of the method used to bring the bill to a vote on the floor?
Well, you know, I would have preferred to have had a bipartisan negotiation from the very outset. And, you know, as one who has been known to work very well across party lines, who has worked on many, many healthcare-related bills with my Democratic counterparts and been successful in getting them passed, we were not included whatsoever. I don't sit on a relevant committee which was writing the bill. On the one hand, you know, having always been involved in this process, being the one of the House sponsors of the Healthy Americans Act, of a Medicare negotiation bill, we were just simply not allowed to participate in the process, no matter how many times we asked, no matter how many bills that we gave them for possible inclusion. No, in spite of the fact that, you know, I was very fortunate to have an hour-long meeting with Congressman Waxman, who primarily wrote the bill in the House, but yet when I asked if I could give, you know, him some paper on these things that were really worrying me about rural America, he just wasn't interested. So the process, certainly for as major a piece of legislation as this, It was a flawed process. I mean, when we passed, when Medicare and Social Security both passed and were signed into law, you had Democratic majorities in the House and the Senate, but you also had, you know, I think 66 Republicans on one bill and 87 on the other. So that was a substantial bipartisan vote, and I think that we would have been better served by doing it this time.
And what effect do you believe this issue is going to have on the November elections?
Well, you know, the political pundits say that it could be a sea-changing vote, that it will, in fact, worry and anger the populace of this country like nothing else, and they will be out in droves to turn out the party who's in the leadership today. And it's a little early to tell. I know that there is great angst among so many people in our state, among small business people who are worried that they're going to have to be paying huge penalties if they're unable to offer health insurance to their employees. And then there's great angst among people who say, you know, there's nothing in the Constitution that says that the government can tell me to buy health insurance if I don't want to, because what's in this bill is both an individual mandate requiring us to all have health insurance, but it could be through the employer. But if not through the employer, we're responsible for getting it ourselves. And our employers are being told, well, if you're, you know, you have a payroll of $50,000 or less, you're exempt. But if you have 50 or more employees and you don't provide health insurance, then you pay $2,000 per year per employee, and anything in between, you pay $795 per employee. So it is, in fact, a mandate on both ends, both on the employer and the individual. And so people are just up in arms because they believe this is a government, you know, the first step in a government, toward a government takeover of health care.